Thank you, sir. And thank you, members. I will start with the MTF, and then thereafter I'm going to present the expenditure report for the 6 months. Basically, we are going to look at the MTF baseline allocations, and then we look at the trends, whether the baseline is increasing. And then we are going to look at the additional funding proposals and motivations, which priorities that we want to fund there. Then just one slide, just an allocation according to the proposed structure, which is not yet in the our accounting systems in place. If we look at the baseline allocation, if we look at the bottom, you know, like where it says total, we can be able to see that our baseline from 2011 and 2012, just looking at the totals, from 2011-2012 it was 4108549. Then it increased to 5175, and then 5175, and then 5123, and then 5358. So if you look at this baseline, there's actually not much of increase, which actually leads to why we are asking for additional funding. If I start at the top of that baseline, and I say, you know, from under administration, 2011-2012, and we look at 2012-2013, that 777990 basically is not a real increase, because that is just an allocation for our new building, including the unitary payment. And therefore, if you remove those figures, even in the following year, 2013-2014, we've got 146 million there, which is also for the new building, and then 60 million that was supposed to pay per annum for the new building. Therefore, there isn't any, you know, like organic increase in administration. We look at environmental quality and protection. That is just increasing gradually, you know, because of, you know, like inflation and whatever, or perhaps some small changes on the infrastructure. If we look at oceans and coast, program 3, again, we look at how it went down from 876 to 411, where 876 was where we paid last for the SA Agalas. And then in that 411, we just have that 187 million that we paid for the VAT of the SA Agalas. Then once you remove it, you can see that there isn't much growth in the outer years. Climate change, initially it was 11. We've tried to move it up to 31 million, 33 million, 34 million, and 36 million. No big growth. Biodiversity and conservation. If you look at 2012-13, you see there from 456 to 579. That is the 81 million that was given for wildlife trafficking, more especially the poaching of the rhinos. And then once you remove that 81 million there, again, you know, you just see a gradual increase. So we're asking for funds there. And then the growth is in environmental projects, which are expanded public works projects. There is growth there that I will explain later. So then we go to compensation of employees. Again, if you compare the 2011, 2012, and then 2012 and 2013. That is because the change is because of the function that we took over from Water Affairs. So there hasn't been, you know, like such big increase. And then from there, because that funding came over, you know, like with those services. Then we go to use of goods and services. Under use of goods and services, again, if we look at that, I was looking at compensation of employees. Under use of goods and services, again, there isn't like also, you know, like a big increase, because included in use of goods and services is those small contractors where we don't do transfers like the agencies. The contractors that are clearing alien invasive species, and then also working for water. I think that is about 250 million. So by just looking at it, you know, it looks like goods and services is a big figure. But once you remove that figure of contractors for Dr. Preston, then the goods and services also don't have a lot of money there. So they start by being 250 in 2012-13, and then those contracts have grown in the outer years. I think in 2013-14 is about 400 million, and then in 2014-15 about 500, and then outwards. So there isn't really also a big growth in use of goods and services. And then most of the money, again, is sitting in the transfers to our public entities. Then we go and look at our payment for capital assets. Like if we look at the previous year, 2011-2012, you can see a 674 there, which was for the SAR Galas, and then it goes down, and then it goes further down. Ultimately, it tapers to 62 million in the outer years. And those figures, the 62 mainly is used for the research vessels. So we don't have, you know, like also enough money for payment of capital assets. In the 199 there, I think there's also the, just check, in 199, there's also the 146 for the building. So also our payments for capital assets basically is just 60 million across the, you know, like the MTF, which means if we take that money and we pay for the operation of vessels like the Smith Amanda and whatever, we don't have a lot of money for capital assets as well. So we go to the bottom, as I was saying, 5175, 5175, 5123, 5358. So there is, you know, like a slow, you know, like there isn't any growth in use of goods and services, while there is growth in our perhaps our personal expenditure. Next slide. I think I've explained the 220 and the 146 that it is for the building, which means it is earmarked. There's nothing that we can do with it. Next slide. And then I've also explained the VAT payment for the 187. That it is, I mean, we've already used that 187 for the VAT. Next slide. And then we said we've also explained the 80 million, the ones of 80 million. And then we're asking for the outer years for the protection of rhinos. Okay. If we look at our environmental sector projects, that's where mainly, you know, like the growth is. Right, it starts right at the bottom where I'm saying total 3048, 3319, and then 3315, and then 3467. Those are earmarked funds. We cannot just move them around to fund goods and services. The 375 on top, where we say additional funding, it was for our environmental, you know, like infrastructure programs, which is working for land, working for waste. And then from there, that is the total. And then from there, the natural resource management, Dr. Guy Preston. And then there is a lot of growth there. And then the infrastructure investments, those are the transfers, again, for infrastructure that we do to our public entities. And then of which SANParks, I'm coming. Yes, that's where we're asking for more money. Yes. And then I'm saying out of that infrastructure that is being transferred to the public entities, SANParks is taking 216 million and then 270 million. And then total natural resource management, then is that total 1619, 1933, 2376, and then 2485. Then the only other allocation, it is the Green Fund, which is also earmarked, 300 million the current year.
The second one is the growth in your kind of conservation.
Yes. Actually, it is a growth more in the job creation area. That's why we're asking, we'll ask for more money for the conservation. So I'll be coming to those slides. So basically, I'm saying these funds are earmarked and they cannot just be shifted easily for use of goods and services or any other functions in the department. Also included then in this money, it is the Buisa Ibek, you know, like budget that we brought into the department 2012-2013, 24.5 million. 13, 14, 26.9 million, and then 28, and then 28.6 in the outer year. So it is also included in those figures where under working for waste. So again, that is just, you know, like a snapshot again of our baseline. And as I say, if you look at it, it's 5175, 5123. That is now according to the economic classifications. And you can be able to see, you know, like the unitary payment, 60 million there on top, can be able to see the Green Fund, you can be able to see the payment for the SAR Galas, you can be able to see the contribution for our new building, And basically, that's why I say they distort the figures, because they make it as though the baseline is increasing. But in the meantime, those monies can only be used for those specific mobile items. Next slide. I think we can skip that one. Okay, we can skip that one as well. Now, here we are coming to why we now motivated for additional funding. And I'm also raising challenges that in the MTF guidelines, Treasury also mentioned that over and above the baseline that we've just, you know, like discussed, there is a possibility they are still going to cut 1%, 2%, and 3% for all departments in order to make provision for infrastructure development that has been announced by the President. And then Treasury has also indicated that there may not be additional funding or resources being allocated to departments for the first 2 years of the MTF, and that can pose a problem for the department.
Yes.
That's where we've gone. Yes, we've put them there. Okay. Okay. Next slide. Yes, we have built them up.
Ah, the element is flatness. The moment it's flat, we put the rent all over the house.
Now, in our additional funding request, basically, we've asked for 1.364 billion, 1.817 billion, and 2163 billion. And we've packaged our additional funding request according to the three priorities: infrastructure investment, science-based priorities, and also job creation. That is now the expanded public works. Yes, we've asked, because we've realized the baseline is having those, you know, like specifically allocated funds. Now I'm going to go to line by line, what is it that we are saying, or what priorities are we funding under infrastructure investment. Well, in our strategic infrastructure projects, which we tried to actually mirror what the President is actually, you know, like saying he's going to fund, we are saying, we are requesting the 37, 28.5 and 28.5. Well, for the building, we still have a shortfall for our infrastructure of 70 million because we budgeted for the building, but we didn't budget for IT. And also for our unitary payment, we've got an allocation of 60 million, but we still need 22 million because we'll be paying 88 million per annum. And then the outer year, actually, it's 60 plus. 32, it's actually 92 million. But it's only that in the other year we are saying we are going to occupy the building area, so we might just save 10 million. But that is also fixed because we are paying it, you know, like for the coming 25 years, that's 80-something million. For South African biodiversity, for that infrastructure, we've actually requested 69.3 million in the outer years. I'm going to explain that. South African National Parks, 16.5, 17.8, 18.9. Isimangaliso, 44, 30, and 30. Expansion of the conservation of estate, as the chair was saying, we've asked for 50, 75, and 100. South African Weather Services, 36, and 24, and 48.9. Waste infrastructure, 50, 75, 150. Then it analyzes the top line, which was saying infrastructure projects. Now we want to look at the details. In the infrastructure projects, we are saying for the build, you know, like infrastructure, we also need to fast track our processes for authorizations. And we're saying to address the identified challenges related to infrastructure build programs and lengthy authorization process, we also need, you know, like to be proactive in our pre-assessments of projects. And then to reduce the number, to reduce the time that we take in processing our authorizations, to be able to develop our strategic environmental assessments, environmental management frameworks, our standard operating procedures, environmental management plans, ministers identified geographical areas for us to be able to map those and be able to, you know, like to embark on those processes, the assessments and the authorization tools. They were asking for 25 million, $75 million across the MTF. And then for our integrated permitting system, we're also asking for 12 million there, 3.5 million, and then in total, that is what we're asking for, 37, 28, and 28. And we want to map all our authorization processes and develop an electric online system, an integrated permitting system that will be designed, the current as well as the future requirement, permitting, licensing, authorizations, because if we don't actually automate those, will lag behind in that build infrastructure. And we're saying the integrated permitting system will reduce delivery time of new or enhanced, you know, like permitting models. Next slide. And then that is just, again, what I've explained to say, that is the shortfall for our new building that we started building, I think it's about 2 months ago. That's 72. Yes, we have started building. Okay, so that is part of the infrastructure. For South African Biodiversity Institute. There was one figure that we asked for, 69 million for South African Biodiversity Security Infrastructure Enhancement across Sandby Campuses, Ecological Research Facility, 5.5 million. Vehicle replacement cost, 20 million. Existing infrastructure refurbishment, 5.49 million. And then our Kirsten Bosch buildings, 10 million. And then for outreach projects, 10 million. And then the IT also, development infrastructure, about 3 million. So we did ask for Sandby as well. Next slide. And, yes. And then for South African National Parks. Yes. In addition of the 80 million that we're asking for, you know, like the control of rhino poaching, we're also asking for more money for the management of our indigenous forest and garden route. They were saying we're requesting 16.5, 17.8, and 18.9% tax. So you take the 80 and you add those, we're asking for a lot of money for SANParks as well. For Isimangali, so we're asking for 44 million, 30 million, and 30 million. Yes. So we also include.
Just a correction. We only ask for Sandby for money in year three.
Yes,
in year one and year two, we ask nothing for Sandby. So there is the first time we ask for money is in 2015, 2016.
Yes.
Well, if you add over the cycle for the others, it's almost triple what we're asking for them in 1 year.
Next slide. I think also this will also is expansion of the conservation of this state, what the chair was talking about, is for ecological sustainability and climate change. We've also asked 50 million, 75 million, and 100 million. They were talking about expansion of protected areas and also the maps that are guiding us, as well as the mechanisms for those expansions. And then for South African Weather Services, our high-performance computer system and the atmospheric and the infrastructure development and the preventative maintenance plan so that our infrastructure is not vandalized. And our, this way it is called meteorological organization information system, so that we can actually, you know, like be able to assimilate our global numerical weather prediction model, you know, like in a more advanced way. And we are also looking at our infrastructure security. And that for South African Weather Services, therefore asking for 36.3, 24.2, and 48.9. We're also asking for money for our waste services infrastructure. Here, basically, we are targeting the communities. We're addressing the historical backlog of waste services, urban, informal, tribal, and rural formal areas, and then also to improve curbside domestic waste collection services where communities are underserviced. And then we are basically implementing our cabinet-approved basic refuse service for indigent households as well. And then they were saying we have to cover the, until we have money, we won't be able, you know, like to take the lead in infrastructure upgrades of the landfills, even though we know that those are the functions of municipalities. And also to address the 80% of the plus minus 300 unlicensed landfills, and then also to increase our recycling infrastructure and buyback centers. We've been asking for this money, I think, for the last 2 years. I don't think we've ever got anything from National Treasury, despite the fact that, you know, like, waste is visibly a problem in South Africa. We're asking for 50 million, 75 million, and 150 million in the outer years. Then we go to our science-based priorities. They were talking about the oceans and coast, which is our most expensive program because of its research and science and laboratories. And then we've got the air. I'll talk about it on the next slide. And then and then our climate change response. Okay. Oceans and coastal hazard risk management, collection of information, climate change predictions, ocean services, the vulnerable coastal communities, the biodiversities along the coast, storm surges, development of information management system, and operational responses. And then for
one of the big pressures that we have currently in the oceans environment is the non-compliance to safety and scientific standards of our lab, of our laboratories. And there's quite a bit of investment in terms of that research necessary to get the safety and scientific standards complied with. So that is one of the big cost drivers, and the other cost drivers are the vessels.
Has got 3 trips per annum to Antarctica, Gulf Islands, and Marion. And that's very expensive. Also, now we've taken over the Algoa, which is about 180 days at sea. Also very expensive. Then we also need the focusing system for ocean monitoring. And then also our laboratories are old and unsafe, overcrowded, and we need all, you know, like all those equipment for our chemical and storage, gas storage facilities. And as I said, this program is really expensive because of its science in nature, 182 million, 162 million, and 152 million. And this program is already, you know, like, I think this year they've already spent 82% of their budget. Okay. If we proceed with our science-based priorities, and then we are asking here again, I think this will also include again SANBI, conservation of biodiversity. We're saying we're asking for 49 million, 145 million, and 156 million. And basically there, that's where the analysis for the number, you know, like priorities. We're mapping them there to actually streamline our legislation, capacity development for provincial government to actually, you know, like roll out, you know, like the conservation, and also local communities to be able to participate in our biodiversity economy and monitoring and management effectiveness. I think this program, which is a biodiversity, also doesn't have, you know, like a lot of money to fund these priorities. So we've put it, you know, like in the additional funds. For climate change, we've asked for 61 million, 50 and 52 million. Climate change is a new branch, and we don't have a lot of money there. And we're also looking at the decline in donor funding, and that is also talking about our climate change response policy, implementation of that. and all the, you know, like the mitigation and adaptation plans that you want to implement, and our air quality monitoring information system. So that is the end of our infrastructure as well as our science-based priorities. Then we go to our job creating functions. As I say, this is our expanded public works as well as working for fire and working for water. We are saying for the current year we do have an allocation of 300 million for the Green Fund, and we want that to prove, you know, like to a treasury to actually, you know, like keep on allocating those funds. And then working for waste, again, we're asking for 441 million, 231 and 254 million. Environmental programs, 240, 349, and then biodiversity economy programs, 15, 15, and then again, we've got that 80 million for the current year for the Rhino Rangers as well as the buildings and whatever, and want National Treasury to keep on allocating those figures. So in total for the job creation, 775, 1.2 billion, and 1.278 billion. Spoken about it.
I mean, the way we think we can get money is through job creation and not through infrastructure. I'm not saying it's awful. I'm saying you can see how the system in government works in terms of priorities. Because the point is, the infrastructure, if one thinks carefully about it, will automatically create jobs down the line. And that's where the money should be going into infrastructure. We get a small amount of infrastructure and a huge amount of job creation. Because we think, because job creation is one of government's main programs, we're going to get more money there, still thinking logically that it's in the infrastructure area. It has much more spillover to us. It's just, you know, it's our government work. Can't work for it.
Cheers. One of the things that we had a debate in terms of where we put it is that there are things that are both in the infrastructure domain and in the jobs domain. And the working for waste, for example, it has huge elements of infrastructure included in that. But because it has such an overwhelmingly positive impact on jobs as well at the same time, we have classified it to be in this instance under the jobs priority. But I think if we unpack it further, you will say there's also an infrastructure benefit in that. The same in terms of some of the work that environmental programs are doing. They have a program specifically around environmental infrastructure that is done in a job-intensive way. So I think there is some things that are classified here under jobs that could have easily also been classified in terms of the infrastructure side, but we are specifically targeting expanded public work funding as a stream, and therefore we've placed it under the jobs category, because in terms of what we've seen, there is so we've kind of put the things in the not all of our eggs in one basket in trying to achieve the same target ultimately in getting this funded through the infrastructure or the jobs, depending on where the stream comes from, what slice of cake it is that we are targeting.
Could I just add that it also applies to the Working for Water, Working on Fire, all these other programs. The main thing that we actually sell is the outcome of doing the work. The fact that if you don't manage your catchments, for example, it really becomes fruitless expenditure to go and put your infrastructure in for the dams and so on. So that is the main selling point, but of course in the process we're able to create a great number of jobs.
Well, perhaps just a note on the Green Fund, so what does it mean? A path to a low carbon and resource-efficient green economy. So they were looking at greening the cities as well as, you know, like that low-carbon economy. So I'm hoping National Treasury is going to proceed with the 500 million every year. We can skip that one because I'm going to explain it there. The 441 million that we've put under, you know, like the creation of jobs. Here, the principle was that we, as the Department of Environment, we are going to be taking the lead in the value chain of, you know, like the whole waste management stream by using, you know, like the community, the young people, to be able to help us, you know, like in the launching of the strategy, and the waste stream will actually follow this process of saying we are looking at the 441 million and the 221 million and the 251 million in the outer years for these specific functions to say we're going to pilot waste pads, waste bins, protective clothing, how landfills are supposed to be managed, and then material recovery, training of young people, transportation, awareness campaign, and then also, you know, like, as I was saying, taking the lead in showing the municipalities how to, you know, like, deal with recyclables, capital level, operational, and then we're also budgeting that in this whole, you know, like, value chain, we'll also pay project management fees of 12%. I want you to go back to the previous slide there. And then apparently there are assumptions then that have been built in there, right? Separation of waste at source, we're looking at about 10,000 households, and we're saying each and every household is producing around about 1.3 kg of waste per day. And then we're looking at the costing of, you know, like the trucks that are supposed to be used, let's say we pilot in certain municipalities. And also, you know, like the assumption that is being built is that each and every household has got about 4 people. And then we believe that, you know, in that waste, 75% of waste is recyclable. And then also the operational cost for those trucks and you know, like, other operations is about 10% of it. So this is based on a certain principle, trying to say to National Treasury, because initially when we're asking for money for waste, they would say, where is your implementation strategy? And so that is how we want to pilot it. Working for the coast, they were asking for 140 million, 149 million, and 160 million. And then they, working for the coast, you say there is a lot of return on investment because then the benefits from the from coastal ecosystems is that it is tourism enhancement, and also it benefits the communities. And then again, I think I've said that rehabilitation of degraded sand dunes, estuaries, coastal environmental, cleaning up of the litter, and then upgrading the maintenance facilities and infrastructure along the coast, including the pathways that reduce degradation of coastal environment.
Chairperson, the program has been running for about 6 years, and whilst it is doing some litter clearing, and it's true that municipalities are wall to wall, you do have the intertidal zone and things where a lot of that work is being done, for which we would be responsible. It's the fixing up of the estuaries, for which again the department has a particular responsibility along with others. So I think those are principal reasons why we found it more effective. Well, it's a lot of that is like the degraded sand dunes, is to try to get walkways across sand dunes that are that stop people from trampling all over the vegetation and having that impact on the dunes. So I think it's more because of the the need to look at this across the priority areas, first of all, because it's so big, and then secondly, across different municipality boundaries, that it works quite efficiently with us doing it. I think the same argument could possibly be made about wildfire management, that the Treasury has seen it to be more efficient to have the wildfire management being run by one national program as opposed to individual municipalities, but they do draw the line at the structural firefighting, which they say they are funding the local authorities for. So I think it's so its norms and standards are also then normalised across areas, which certainly leads to greater efficiencies as well. But the Treasury has not questioned the returns here at all, and nor have they said, to my knowledge, that this is a double dipping in the sense that already the Equitable Share, whatever it is making allowance for this. I think if we're cleaning at the parking lots, and the beaches of the local authority, that would be more contentious. But for us to do that work, we're kind of treading into union wage work as well. So we tend to try to avoid that.
Job creation continued. Then the next thing then is people and parks. And here we are saying then we are looking for 100 million, 200 million, and 250 million in the outer years to be able to, you know, like to invigorate infrastructure in and around our protected areas and parks. That's helping, you know, like communities with ownership and contributing to the creation of small enterprises. Upgrading of facilities and infrastructure currently dilapidated within the protected areas. And we are saying that is also going to contribute to the conservation of natural resources and cultural heritage. And it also provides for the benefit and sharing models for communities. The last one. Yes, that was just a note in the writing to say that the MINMEC has actually prioritized Mpumalanga and Limpopo.
If I could explain that for particular degraded infrastructure along the lines of what you've also pointed out, is Mongolisa.
Chair, it comes out of an intensive report that was done around the management effectiveness of all of the parks, national and provincial, and part of that management effectiveness study that was done looked at, and it's ongoing, provinces report on a quarterly basis on this, or all conservation agencies report on a quarterly basis on management effectiveness, and part of that is about infrastructure, which include both tourism infrastructure as well as issues like staff accommodation. And the issue where Limpopo and Mpumalanga is specifically prioritized was around areas of staff accommodation, specifically because there was places where staff didn't have beds and no furniture, no infrastructure. So that's what that is based on.
And I think this is the last slide talking to job creation. To pilot biodiversity economy programs. And here we're looking at skills development for SMMEs in the following areas: wildlife and hunting sector, nature-based enterprises like beekeeping, industries, hodia, devil's throw, aloe, you know, like those, you know, like small enterprises that can be developed in those areas. Yes, for SMMEs. And nature-based, you know, like to invigorate nature-based tourism and then and bio-prospecting. And the last one, Chair, that is the South African National Park, then where we're saying they must give us more money in the outer years for the protection of rhinos. And that is just an indication of the new structure.
I have to say, you prepared this very well. I am very happy and impressed with you. Okay?
Thanks.
So that's what we wanted to see what the baseline is, and then to see what is it we ask an extra so that we can get a grasp of it. So I want to really congratulate you. Even some of that I can understand. Not all the motivation, I can see it. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think this one is quite clear. Firstly, I'd like to know is for the Working for West. The inside you, because your budget is 441 million. Yeah? Then the awareness campaign you spend for 36 million, and the project management fee about 12%. How is the standard for 12% of management fee? 12% of 47 million rand. Is the 12% paid to who? And how you utilize these 36 million rand for the campaign? Thank you.
Thanks very much. I also think the presentation is excellent. So congratulations. Very, very useful and user friendly. Just something came across my mind now. Government has been for some time contemplating a possible public-private partnership for a medical waste facility. Now, I'm not commenting on whether I think it's a good idea or not, but if if it's in your mind, I'm not sure if I'm seeing it anywhere in the MTF period. Just give me an answer to that. I mean, I accept maybe you haven't entirely thought it all through, but you do talk about it, so, you know, if you talk about it, it should possibly be there. The second thing I have is more of a philosophical, but it's more of a issue on the compliance and enforcement, and it's nice to see that you're putting in an extra request. I certainly appreciate the support there. Where... You see, one of the problems we have with enforcement in the rhino poaching, against rhino poaching, is that as much as there is a spike in poaching and it's increasing at the moment in Kruger, let's say, for example, that you are the extra rangers and whatever these new things, the drones and night vision and all the rest over the next 2 years are able to have a meaningful impact that changes the trajectory in Kruger. That, of course, is good for Kruger. Doesn't mean it's good for anyone else in South Africa, because, like any crime, you know, if you clamp down on one area, you displace it to another area. Now, I'm not sure what the answer is yet. I'm just asking you to possibly just be a bit thoughtful about it. You know, rhino poaching affects a lot of different areas in South Africa. It affects a lot of provincial parks. It affects private owners as well. From a national point of view, in compliance and enforcement, is there anything else you can plausibly do within the bounds of the shared competencies with regards to conservation to improve compliance and enforcement elsewhere? Just to close the circle of my argument here, I mean, you guys might eventually get this under control and displace it onto provincial parks and onto private owners. So, by all means, you might celebrate, but in reality, no one will give you the chance to celebrate because people don't actually differentiate in the bigger schemes of things where the rhino is poached. They just see the number at the end of the year. And you guys know well that there are organizations that keep these numbers, you know, they go up every week. So So you know, inevitably it's not your fault necessarily, you're still going to get blamed. No, I get it as well. The point is, you can communicate all you want, but ultimately, whether fairly or not, the minister is always the target. So, are there other options, even that you're considering, where you can actually help other entities? And, I mean, I guess the one argument, I'm trying not to answer your question, is to get increased allocation through. But the provinces, from what I'm gathering, are under immense pressure as well with regards to allocations between departments, and are not finding it as easy to get treasury support as you are. So if you can maybe just reflect on those few comments and questions from me. In summary, you guys may bring it under control, displace it, and you'll still be in trouble, quite frankly.
Thanks, Chair. I'll start and then I'll ask my colleagues to come on in. In terms of the working on waste program, Dr. Huang, this would be the further rollout of the pilot that was already approved as a project of the Green Fund. So the first rollout of this approach, which is approach that doesn't look just at a certain element of it, it looks at the entire value chain. So the awareness is incredibly important in order to change the behavior, and that is where we use the youth intensively in terms of being environmental. So they will, although we include them in a waste project, it's about more than just waste awareness. It's about building in the community an environmental responsible behavior process. The reason why there is then that management function is because we are not appointing this. It's a project, and we follow the same approach that we do, for example, in some of the programs in terms of the environmental programs, where we appoint an implementing agent, and that implementing agent is then responsible for the contracting and subcontracting, etc., and we pay a management fee for that. That management fee is around 12% is actually on the lower side in the market of what that of an implementing agent currently is. But that is just a model that was used in the successful, or not yet implemented, but that succeeded in meeting the application of a Green Fund pilot project, and this is then to roll it out to the bulk of other provinces as well over the beyond the pilot project that is funded. So we pay a management fee because we're using an implementing agent. We don't do all of the contracting work, etc. And the awareness part is incredibly important of this. In terms of the healthcare risk waste private-public partnership process, Honourable Morgan, you might recall that one of the key challenges in this regard is that it is actually the Department of Health that needs to initiate it, because we're talking about facilities that are at hospitals, and the responsibility, so it needs to be jointly initiated by us and health. We have done the work, and then also the funding side of it would need to come. We will do the policy and standards and norms type of the work in terms, but we won't be running the facility because that is not our function. So the facility, if there is a PPP process, we would have an advisory stake in that, and a policy and standards stake in it, while the PPP would be the public partner, apart from Treasury, would be the Department of Health and not the Department of Environmental Affairs. In terms of the compliance and enforcement question, I think when we do that report back, which the DG has talked about in terms of the comprehensive strategy, it is something that we need to look at specifically. I think one of the issues that we are grappling with as the sector is the fact that we have provincial authorities need to go and make bids to provincial treasuries for their allocation in terms of their funding. So what we're trying to do is to build the case through a mechanism which we call the Intergovernmental Framework, which standardize our budget items, and then kind of say what are the needs in terms of the sector, and that it is around funding the sector rather than funding a specific functionary within a department. It is absolutely true that we do not yet have either resources to say what would the impact be if the move to private sector. I think to private parks, but obviously if we have it under control in the national parks, those facilities became available, and things like the drones, for example, have a radius of up to 14, 35 kilometers, so they can serve at least private nature reserves in close proximity to where the national parks are. We do, however, still have 75% plus of the rhinos are in parks. So I think that the big issue is that if we are concerned about the prolonged life of the rhino, we need to look at where is the survival rates the most important, and also concentrate in terms of where our mandate is and where we put state functions into it. But I think if we talk about the strategy, ultimately in terms of the illegal activities, we need to look beyond that. I don't know if Alf, he's been to a very recent briefing of the issues manager on this, could just maybe shed some light on some additional thinking. But yes, that is logically the next step where we would need to go in terms of that.
It, well, see it. Yeah, well, the COO knows the big elements of the strategy, but just in summary, I think that the problem that we face is that 73% of the world's population of rhino live are basically in South Africa, and that's the reason why we face this international onslaught, if you want, in that we are really the vast majority of the potential supply. And in real terms, in simple terms, this is a demand and supply issue. It's in economics, even though it's black market demand and supply, it's still a demand and supply economic issue. And on the demand side, the strategy deals is trying to deal with the international demand and managing the international demand. And that's all those bilateral cooperation with consumer countries, transit countries, and support countries, as well as multilateral engagement and processes in terms of global treaty law. But also inclusions of Interpol and other multilateral enforcement agencies as well. On the supply side, the reality that we face is that in sand parks, 55% of the rhino exist, 25% on private land, and 20% in provincial parks. So 80%, in fact, in parks, 75% in parks. And really, there are three broad areas. The one area of work that we need to do is our domestic regulation and policy. And the second big area of work is in enforcement. And enforcement, you've got to deal with equipment. And as the COO talked to the equipment work that we are putting in place, is equipment for all. Not only for sand parks. The second area is personnel capacity or what enforcement capacity, and that's a multi-sectoral issue. It's police, it's honorary rangers, it's private sector or private landowner personnel, as well as provincial personnel. And national parks or sand parks personnel, and in this respect, there's issues of equipping those personnel which exist. There's issues of increasing their capability, and I think where your observation may be valid is wondering whether or not the provincial authorities that control 20% of the population have the capability to increase their personnel. And similarly, whether or not the private sector would be prepared to invest additional investment in personnel in terms of protecting their rhino. And I think that's one of the issues that the rhino issue manager has picked up, is that the increasing cost of conserving rhino or of owning rhino due to this onslaught. So the policy needs to include not only public sector financing, but private sector financing, and therefore we have this focus on so-called support countries in a bilateral and multilateral context, where we need to be trying to mobilize, because this is a global public good, trying to mobilize the support for not only for all three categories of owners, private, provincial, and national. So we do have all this detail in a strategy, but in a nutshell. But the questions that you ask are valid ones, and it is something that the strategy is trying to deal with in a more comprehensive manner. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also thank you for COO's response. If true to your response, so you are working with you got the manager project of the management field. So you are working in the water and working in the fire. Okay, there is a difference project that is a management field. You pay same the 12%. And how you can appointment for this agency, I'd like to know. Thank you.
I'll respond. If I could just first also give some input on the rhino issue. We have had game guards working with the Working for Water and other teams in national parks for many years. And with Sand Parks and the Biodiversity and Conservation Branch, we've run a pilot now where we've employed 80 people and trained them up as game guards, we're calling them environmental monitors, to work with the parks to help with the protection of the rhino. And part of that was with private nature reserves. The private nature reserves have funded the training and the equipping of the people, and we pay for the wages. And we're coming in at 150 Rand a person day at the moment, which is within the what's called the wage incentive amount. Now, the wage incentive amount is not being spent generally in government, so we think that there's a big opportunity to roll that out, and there's enormous interest in the private sector. So a lot of the private parks are saying to us they will happily cover the management costs, the equipping costs of the environmental monitors if we could cover the wages of them. So we'll just see how that pilot works and how effective it is. Of course, we're talking about huge numbers, huge areas for relatively small numbers of people. But certainly the feedback from the parks where we've tried it so far has been very positive. And it is it's a step to significantly increase the numbers of people that are working. So should I finish that point and then I'll go on to the next one? Well, I'm finished. There was a question. It was in response to the management costs for Working for Water, Working on Fire, and all the other programs. All of them do have management costs. What happens in Working for Water is that we tend to employ the managers ourselves, so they're on our personal system, and we're paying salaries in those cases. But we do have implementing agencies that are working for us, and the jury's still out as to which is is the better route to go. But we certainly had some very good performance from our implementing agents. So you've seen some of them being reflected with Sandparks and Isimangaliso and so on. And Working on Fire is run currently through a company that one attended to do the work, and we are in the process now with the National Treasury of putting it out on a long-term treasury, because through a PPP process that we've been looking at, it's been shown that we could have very significant savings both in management costs and especially transport costs by having a long-term contract. So in all cases, there are these management costs. And really, if we don't invest in management, we will have very suboptimal outcomes, both in terms of the jobs, but particularly the reasons why we do this work in the first place. And we're very focused on those outcomes, you know, of controlling of invasives or wetlands or the building of infrastructure or waste or whatever it might be. So all of them do have the management costs, and we are very conscious of how we can try to keep those costs down, as is the Treasury.
Question of the, I'm fascinated by that Ranger project. I think you might have said it at the start. Are those rangers chosen and hired by the POP, and then of course government comes in on the wage?
Currently, what's happening, Ms. Morgan, is that we're working through Sandparks, who are working with the private nature reserves, and no offences, of course, in the ones that we're focusing on at the moment. Isimangaliso and Isimbelo have both requested that we extend the work to them, and it is run through them, so they have to be happy with the processes of the training, the selection, how they interact with the neighbouring communities, because those are all potential benefits of creating jobs. So it is seen as something done by them, with us supporting.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the important things there, and I know it's an issue in rhino protection, is that the owners obviously want to be able to intrinsically trust the people who are protecting their own rhino. Had the odd case that there's been one or two cases in Sandparks where obviously insiders have got involved in poaching, and I guess that's an inevitable happen. So I'm feeling the recipients, I guess, should really feel like it's their people if they don't. Just just to be a little bit naughty, that sounds suspiciously that program like a youth wage fix. Of course, it's great, but I mean, that's exactly what the idea of it is. It seems like you, and not that it's focused on youth, but that's effectively a wage subsidy.
But I think just one thing around the trust, of course, it will always be an issue. But the project that we actually started before this, which was on Table Mountain, linked to the mugging that were going on there, the suggestion was, and that's why we're calling them environmental monitors, that they can do a lot more work in terms of identifying invasives or other problems, or on the mountains case, helping people who might be lost or whatever. But the purpose is that they will all have GPS. They'll have equipment that will enable them to be able to pinpoint things, but what it also does is enable us as management to know exactly where they are at any one point, to know whether they're moving or not. And so we know from working on fire, on which this is based, that we can have very, very good control over what people are doing as a group, or if vehicles are speeding or anything like that. We can pick it up electronically. But there will always be a risk.
Uh, Chairperson, I just lost the question is regarding for the morning AG's indicator for the your irregular expenditure, just about 2.39 million. But that is why I congratulate that this small amount is my chairperson is so surprised, because the order of this irregular expenditure over 1.09 billion. So my question is from the your department side. You have some case for investigate regarding for your accounting official side. I'd like to know, do you have any cases through to the process to the investigate or there is over expenditure? Thank you.
On this specific case, on the irregular expenditure, I think my concern was that I didn't quite understand whether Dr. Huang talked about investigations other than this irregular, if there was other matters that we've investigated or the specific one. In terms of this specific one, we have actually done an investigation of where it went wrong, and we have instituted both a disciplinary process for the corrective measure in that instance, but also a systems correction. So we have now in our DAC process, which is the acquisition committee of the department, have added checks and balances where we as the committee sign off that all the SBDRs are being complied with, etc. So we've established at what point did that mistake occur, and we've put the corrective measures in place. So any irregular, there was also instances where we had to obtain condonance, and I think that is all reported on in the annual report, where some of the matters came up through our checks and balances where there was a non-compliance, which we then obtained condonance for, etc. And Andres can talk exactly about what those areas are. So any irregularity that is picked up either through an internal audit process, through our financial management oversight insurances, or through the AG is then investigated and corrective measures are put in place.
Look at your budget this year, 5.1 million. Now, look, I got an F in the trick from that. But if I can work it out, it looks like 1%, it looks like 20%. do think that if we don't do it like that, it becomes very difficult for us to seriously try and add to the, try and get some of the issues added to the I'm thinking generically, if we say there's the conservation issues, the infrastructure issues, and the integrated permitting kind of community side, we think should be special, given special priority, then these are weighed out, all of these. Although we think all of them are important priorities in the department, but those we do think should be on the committee side looked at priority. I want to suggest that the members want to engage with that. And then overall, we want the department next year to sit and look at their cost view of the transition. I've been in the department myself, I know the pressure. I know how difficult it is to say, Dr. Preston, you wait for next year. Dr. Beaumont, you wait for next year. My blue-eyed boy, Alfie and Nevada, you come forward. This year we're going to really push for the two of you little boys because we know you boys are very badly represented in the department. So the boys are going to have a chance this year and we're going to push their instrument. If we don't go through that serious engagement on prioritizing our additional funding, I know how crazy it works. They just then not and everything, and they're going to look at one or two of their priorities. And because we've not prioritized this, we're going to really put out the money where we should have put it.
Just a short input. We probably haven't gone far enough with that, but we did go through a substantial prioritization process. The first amount that people put to us, CFO, you must remind me, but was closer to 3.8 billion. And we then did sit as the management team and look after engaging Treasury, and they have told us, A, there is no money. But if there is money, these are the three areas, infrastructure, science, and jobs. So we then looked at all of the bits that was on the table from the wish list from everybody, and then said, which are the ones that we can then fit into those areas that may be looked upon more favorably than some of the others. I think another part of our strategy was this constant engagement with Treasury through this process and dropping and cutting, etc., in order to respond to them. And then, Chair, another part of our strategy was also, and we haven't done that in so much detail here, is to explain to Treasury what the devastating impact would be if they cut our budget by 1%. Because if our budget is cut by 1%, we have no operational money basically left, and the CFO has demonstrated that. So I think we have, over the past 3 years in our engagement with Treasury, keep on making the point that the sector is seriously underfunded in terms of our mandate, in terms of the public good that we need to manage, etc. And we need to continue that message of the sector being seriously underfunded. But I think the further reprioritization.
But when you sit of the day, you know, treasury, at most, they're going to give you one, two, or three. At most. If you're lucky, in fact, I, you know, they may be as things are standing at the moment with money and government, they're probably going to give you more. If we don't go there with the infrastructure program for this, the infrastructure program for that, the job creation program, to say these are our three priorities with integrated planning, the money we need for credit. If we don't go and say those are the things that we absolutely, among these, cannot be priorities, we're not going to get anything.
Thank you, Chair. I think actually you're saying exactly the same thing that we've said to Treasury. We have reprioritized from the priorities. And if I may say, the secret, Chair, also with Treasury, is that the infrastructure doesn't compete with any other thing. So that's guaranteed possible that we're going to get, as long as we've made our business case as good as it can be. So I don't think there we have a big problem. Because, but remember that the government has got this infrastructure program, massive infrastructure program. So the environmental one is the just drop in that ocean, which is why we think associated with the infrastructure, we do need to do to be funded on our strategic environmental assessments or environmental management framework. For all of those zones, those economic zones, because for them to be able to move forward, they need environmental authorization. And the only way for us to help speed up the process is to first have the framework that would give us a sense of the sensitivities of the area and what needs to be managed proactively in order to facilitate authorization. Two, there is also a set aside for science and innovation, which is what we are capitalizing on. So, again, in discussions with Treasury, we thought that we needed to take all our science work on ocean to be funded under that area. Then, where the rest of the functions are funded, we are actually going to ask for very little. If we get something there, as you say, we will be very lucky. And but rhino poaching is definitely one priority which Treasury agrees is a priority. It's a matter of whether there is money or limited money, but they will have to give us some resources to do that work. So buying land, I doubt if we're going to get money this year on the conservation estate. That's the part that we've put as low priority, but we know it's high on our top priority. But because it is not under infrastructure and it's not much on the science, we are chances of us succeeding in getting funding there are very much limited. So I think we've done a little bit of rearranging the priorities on that basis, and I think we can confirm once we get a letter from Treasury on how then we have been able to fare in that regard. Thanks.
So you will emphasize infrastructure, additional funding for infrastructure, integrated permitting and conservation. So on the committee, for a useful argument, whatever you want to argue with. Okay, expenditure is a lot, I think.
Thank you, Chief. Next slide. Basically, I would like to expenditure. Yes, just for the 6 months. Not a lot of size. Financial statement is 100% financial statement. Yes. I just want to highlight the adjusted allocations as given to the department. Next slide. Okay, the priorities have already been mentioned by the DG earlier on. Yes. This is how much the department got from National Treasury. Adjusted estimate, we got 9. Yes.
643
million.
expanded public works from so for starting from the bottom, the big figures, it's expanded public works, $375 million. South African National Parks, that's $80.7 million. And then the VAT for the SAR Galas, and then the top ones are just for the adjustment for compensation. You know, the annual adjustment that you get for 5% and the variance. Only 153,000. Okay. Oh, it's among a little. Oh. So it's 153,000. Yes. So this is just that annual increases that we're providing for. The next slide. Basically, all what we're saying there is that we are trending well in the department. On average, we are 45% expenditure, quarterly 23-21. And I'll just go to, you know, like to explain the variances. I said in administration, which we've got our new building there, and also paying for the facilities. And normally we get invoices late from the Department of Public Works, but also for the new building we pay quarter. You said you must get students. Our compensation of employees' budget is not sufficient to cover the entire establishment. So there's already a vacancy figure worked into that, and then it also we also have the additional to establishment and the Section 40. There are funds. We are in trouble. Yes. No. The other land, just the one that I want to explain, is just biodiversity. That's where Sandparks is. So with the 80 million that has just been allocated, the spending is 39%, because the adjustment budget just comes now around September. So that's why the percentage is down. Furthermore, the department is trending well. I don't know whether I must go through all the other slides, because it is the program. Huh? Yes, that is the SAR Galas, but they also bought equipment for research, which was bought in the previous year, but unfortunately was paid for in the current year, so we need to prioritize to fund them. And that is just per economic classification, basically repeating the same explanation. The 32% other goods and services. I said in goods and services, we've got a small contractors of Dr. Preston, which cannot be paid as transfers like Sandparks, Sandby. So we pay them as small contractors. So our 833 includes about 250 of those. And we said because we're actually aligning their service contracts as well as the processes, that's why there's a slow expenditure there. For the three non-profit institution. Who's that, by the way, Veronica? the other
spend that much or they transfer
that? It is a transfer. Yes.
Okay.
And the Green Fund, I think CEO almost finalizing the evaluation of the project. So by the end of the 6 months, we haven't actually captured all the projects that are finalized there. But I'm told it is anticipated that we'll spend not all the money, I don't know how much. And basically those are the big variances. The other slide then is the one that we normally present where we try to analyze the big cost drivers. And we are saying there we've got documents for explaining consultants, contractors.
First quarter, 38 million. That is already 96 million rand in half a year spent on consultants.
But we said there are those contractors for Working for Water and Working on Fire because we are not treating them as transfers. So it is, yes, it is those are removing the alien invasive species for 40,000, 120,000. No, actually, we've actually listed them in the listing sequence by each one of them. So it is not the consultants, it is mainly the contractors. There's no item code for them under transfers, and we treat them like, you know, like small orders because they are clearing for about 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, even 1 month. Yes. So we are putting them there for the time being, but we are still looking for a correct item code for them from National Treasury, but we don't want to use natural resources. We don't want to use biological assets because then it's going to cause us problems. And then the main... Yes, and Smith Amanda, yes. Which is for the operations of the both the SAR Gallas.
You have the separate document.
Yes,
on the we are transparent on
the I want to send you an account. I just told that we had to do. We had to do the work, you know? I'm going to send an account there. Just give me the address and I'm going to send my account.
And the other. I don't think it's a lot. That's why I say this time we have.
I'm not interested what you think. I want to know what's the figure. How much do you people charge for consultants?
She, supply chain is looking it up for us. We can give you the list. So give us just a couple of minutes.
96 of the 96 million. How much is consultants? Real consultants.
Also, the other cost driver, we've also attached a detailed spreadsheet for our travel and assistance. Okay, I've explained that one about those contractors. And the other cost driver is the salaries as well as our performance bonuses.
And we now again explain what is made up of our consulting services as a department. And I think we can present that report again so that we just remind you what it is made up of. The vessel management is not coming cheap, and a number of other side services that we can. So we can explain those in that analytical report that we provide, a similar report.
Okay.
the 44 million that we have paid, 37 is Metaman, and honestly, we don't have any skills. Out of the 44 million that we have spent on consultant, 37 million went to Smith Amandla, and it is for the management of the vessels. And so that's the big 37 million.
So 7 million then
for real consultant.
I was also saying, and also the biggest other cost driver in all our goods and services then is all the salaries across all the programs, because the transfers and the expanded public works projects also trend differently. But I'm trying, I'm saying all of those are in line with the 45% for the first half of the year. And that is just a vote on performance bonuses for levels 1 to 12 that we've paid in the second quarter. Basically, I'm just explaining each and every program in detail.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's for my appearance, the question is asking, is the project, the management, the fuel, this is 12%, and the other water and the on the fire. So CFO just explained for that is 96 million and the 44 million come down to the 37, come down to the 7 million. This amount is not a confusion to me, because I, from my mind, I just thinking, you just change your title from consultant to the project of management field. Because you scared for the committee is asking question, well, why you pay not for the consultant? Because our TG is very clever. Yeah, this lady is very clever. So, you see, the, on the fire, on the water, you pay also pay the. I think the other gentleman is just go out. Yeah, he just respond to me. I still unhappy because you change the name. Consultant, you utilize the project management few. It's very beautiful words because the consultant everybody scared. But I my question is the same. Even you use a consultant, you pay the management fee. This is the same amount they all pay from this old agency. How you can the appointment for this agency? How can identify for this agency can the pay amount for this 44 million, 55 million? Because you got a three difference on the fire, on the water, on the this waste. This total amount is not only the 100 million. So I just say, my question is, true to the DG answer, very. You respond question is very good because you are very knowledgeable woman. So I'm very proud of you. So your irregular expenditure is come down to the 2.4 million, because the other department, your sixth department is the one billion. So I just say this consulting is true to the. To the, our committee chairperson, you also concerned. This consulting issue we already asking this question over the 3 years. Since he is a become truly chairperson, we already started this question. Thank you.
Well, Chair, I'm thinking because I have to be careful in answering Dr. Fan. I think the third one is making a statement that says that we are hiding by explaining implementing fees in the consultant fees. And I think we, Dr. Juan, we would have liked to report it separately, but because Treasury, in terms of the items, it is for now put under the consultant fee. So when we are given another approval for another item code that is acceptable, that will then show it differently, we will then implement as such.
Do something 100% or you do something more. Now, what is that going to help anyone in terms of accountability? So you guys have brought in the yellow as well. I think there should be a further classification, even more than that. Why clearly, I mean, this thing about weight, I didn't even think about it. Now we're giving everything the same weight. We get a pie here with a gobble, and it looks like only 45% for climate change, where we've been really exceptionally good. Then you look at another unit that's done some bad things in late 72%. Because, why? Because we do everything the same way. But that doesn't really, I mean, we're not really holding people to account in terms of performance, in terms of things that are done. But that's not, the only thing we can do at least is what I said we're going to do next year. Next year we're going to sit down with you and you're going to come and explain to us how you get to your target. So at least we're going to have some input in getting to the target. We can't fix up the rest of the system really in any way. Okay. So I must say, again, I think the department has done well. They've outwitted themselves and they're getting very clear on the way of presenting homelessness. I mean, we now hear that the levels 1 to 12, and no one's going to fight with the workers, so they're going to strike again. But now we hear next time, they're warning us already, but next time you wait, you'll see our bonus. Then you'll see the real bonus. That'll be next time. So you guys have become clever. You've been, as Dr. Fong says, very clever how you answer the things. But on the whole, I think there's a lot of positive. I really just think mature and friendly financial people. And I think that I take the CEO has now promised me that she has personally removed all the problems in terms of her financial problems we had in the department. So I know next time I'm just going to get green from the department. So got that, hopefully Shandy will sort it out. But I do think those are important things in the sector. You see, particularly with Sandy, not for any other reason that I think may have a bias towards me, but you see, I think if you go and look at the money, we're asking additional money. For the entities, we're asking for Sandy for most of the money. Even if it's in the third year, the CEO tried to wriggle out of it again. But the point is, we're asking, you see, Sandy would have a much stronger foot to stand on. They're getting pretty clean reports. But year after year after year, they're the same problems there with those scientists and professors that are sitting there. And you know, so you guys would get those parts of the things into the house in order. And as I say, we must bite the bullet with prioritization. Because you're not helping this commitment to go and fight for you in terms of additional funding. We now have to give glib, broad statements in terms of support. You're not equipping us with saying we want to support this infrastructure program and we want Treasury to give money for it. This program of ALP we want to give money for it, we think it's within persuasion. We're not being equipped for that kind of But as I say, I'm very happy with most of the things that have been done. I think I speak for the whole committee. There's not much more that's been presented by the party. And obviously we'll repeat most of this again next year in May. Okay, and remember, I want a nice breakdown of the budget on conservation over the last 5 years into the next 10 years. Please remember that. I'm not going too much of this detail in the thing. You take the previous report, just change the dates and the times and the figures, and then add a few.
Get that ready for next week's debate.
One of the other outstanding matters from the committee is the Algiers conventions, where the comments of the committee is due before the Department of International can ratify. So you have discussed it, but they need to you need the resolution. They need the resolution and the report.
Is that the African convention?
Well, can someone just bring me those reports? The ones we've passed and this one that we haven't. I mean, other than the impact we've passed all of them. But bring that to me so I can see what you're doing. Okay. Who's being in my room for it? You? You bring. No, what I must look at is the ones that we passed, and then for some reason they say we haven't passed another one, which I haven't said anything. So just bring all of it and have a look at that, and then see what it is we had to do, why we didn't pass the other one, if there has to be a resolution or something. Someone must draft it. The only resolution I'm aware of is the one that I'm still waiting for to redraft from you, is the one on the process of how the department was actually interacted during the process of negotiation. That's the one I'm aware of, but I'm not aware of the answer. Liability clause.
Yes.
There's a liability clause that if it was to go through, other countries in Africa would probably hold us liable for certain things. And we really were saying, is this what we want? And we then asked you guys to go back and discuss it further and actually look at the consequences. I think that's what. So you must come back with an answer. There were two things in there.
It's something to do with that convention dealt with, quite frankly, five different departments, government departments. And then I think our problem was there were at least two things there which we felt uncertain about because we don't have any competency over those areas. Off the top of my head, I can't remember the word. So it's a bit strange asking us to cast judgment over something that has nothing to do with us.
No, we gave a task to the department to go and check certain things. And they then had to come back to us. Now, if you're telling me you're ready to come back to us, fine. If not, then you must get someone that will put to work. So firstly, what someone must do is go and look at that minutes of that meeting and see what it is we said. And I remember the liability. And most of us, I think that you don't have to really look at them and actually come and publicly tell us that's what you want.
And it would be responsible for all the costs and everybody would be paying. The other issue was not my opinion.
Liability thing you're talking about, there was a clause
it was
that allowed different countries to come and hold us liable for certain things. And I said, I've never seen an agreement, a treaty, where you put a clause like that, that you can have countries. If you hold a country liable for something that they're wrong, of course must do that. And of course must we had it in a treaty. And I think that's the issue.
So
will you check with Stuart and then let me know?
Chair, I think Alf will
just follow up with Stuart because it he will then come back here.
Let's kind of have a look. I know there were two or three things. I think Stuart responded to some of it. Like one of the things we were also, I think we were going to be the secretariat, so we said, who's going to bear the cost of the question? Arthur was actually going to bear the cost. Right, because the department's going to bear the cost, that's fine. But then there was this liability issue, I remember, which was a problem. Then Mr. Morgan raised the thing about, which I wasn't that worried about, but he raised it, which I thought was something that should be checked at least, is that in that agreement, there are things that affect other departments. And shouldn't we actually have them part of this process and not just go ahead with it? But as I said, go check all of that with Stuart and then you can come back to us to remind me. Okay. Now it's starting to come back slowly. And I now realize we didn't pass it before things were happening. Okay. And the rest of the stuff, I know, I mean, I knew it because you, that's why it wasn't done. So I knew it. Thank you for doing it.